in your Bibles to the first Psalm. The first Psalm, right about the middle of your Bible, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." First Psalm, amazing Psalm. Look at that first verse. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I'm going to talk about that, the counsel of the ungodly, just the concept of bad advice. There's a lot of bad advice going on in the world, and we don't really need any bad advice. We have enough evil in our own hearts that we don't need anybody giving us new evil ideas, right? Notice the progression in that first verse. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Did you know that going down an evil way gets worse and worse and worse as you go? You start off walking walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then you find yourself standing there in the way of sinners, and then you find yourself sitting in the seat of the scornful. Notice also the progression in the people that are involved. The ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful also getting worse. Ungodly not being as bad as it could be. Ungodly means just not God-like. And then, of course, you've got sinners, which mean they are actually actively doing something they shouldn't be doing. And then, of course, you've got the scornful, which are philosophically deep against God. They go that step farther. It is a clear progression from ungodly all the way to the scornful with sinners in the way. I got to tell you, God's trying to give you some information here, maybe wake you up and warn you, just like it was preached on this morning about the warning, the necessity of warning. This is what God is doing to you right now. And everybody here is going to be taking some advice. You really need to understand, and I'm not against, you know, you being your own person, you know, and being an individual and, you know, making your own decisions and all that. In fact, you're going to have to. But the truth is, everybody follows advice. There aren't very many original thinkers in the world, and even original thinkers usually are following somebody else's lead. It's ridiculous for you to think that you've got your own ideas. The truth is, you would have to be extremely intelligent to have your own ideas. Most of us learn our ideas from other people. It's like people who like to tell jokes. They love to tell jokes, and they laugh and they act like they made up the joke. You heard the joke. Come on, don't get all proud of yourself because you can tell a joke. The truth is, we hear these things and then we repeat them. And that's the way your ideas are too. You aren't such an original thinker. You're not doing your own way. And you children who are in school and you think you want to be different or whatever, you're not being different. You're just being like everybody else. I mean, whether you tattoo yourself or whatever, you're just following somebody else. So it's true that everybody follows advice. Have you noticed how many people like to give advice? It's amazing. All you have to do is show up to work with a sniffle and find out how many people are going to tell you how to fix that sniffle. Now, the truth is, every one of you have heard so many different ways to fix a sniffle. And you know, maybe they work, maybe they don't, I don't know. But the truth is, it shows you how badly people want to give advice. And it's true, we all do. And so, the truth is, you're going to have to choose between good advice and bad advice. Everyone is required to choose. I want you to know something else. Everybody has to learn how to resist bad advice. You not only have to choose between good and bad advice, you have to learn how to say no. Don't give me any advice how to fix a cough. It just takes time, okay? Listen. That's my advice. Time. All right, no more comments from the peanut gallery. I'm telling you what, our peanut gallery is growing in this church. I know that. Everyone has to learn how to say no, folks. Taking advice is no excuse. You're still responsible for the decisions you make. I don't know how many people think that it's some sort of an excuse, a mitigating circumstance, if what you did in a crowd of other people. That's not acceptable. Exodus 23:2 says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." You are responsible, even if you're doing it in a crowd. In fact, be careful of crowds. I one time went to a professional soccer game in Mexico, and I told myself I will never go back to a professional soccer game in Mexico because I'm sitting in the midst of a huge crowd of people who were out of control, at least when our team started losing. And I thought, you know, it was my choice to be here in this crowd, and I'm choosing next time not to do that. I'll watch it from television. If I'm interested in soccer, I will watch it from television. I'm not going to go there again because I'm afraid of that crowd. You ought to be afraid of crowds. You ought to be afraid of riots. You ought to be afraid of a multitude that's out of control. In fact, slip silently backwards and get yourself out of there, because whatever they do, whatever that multitude does, you are responsible as well, because you're part of it. If you are there, it's like moral support. Walk away. Get away. How many children are right now in juvenile detention because they were with somebody else that did something? And I've heard them say it, "I didn't do it." But you were there. You were there. And Texas has that controversial rule, law of parties. But I'm not going to get into that. I just want you to know everybody is responsible for their choices. And they are going to have to own up to whose advice they choose to follow. Now, he says the counsel of the ungodly, which brings to mind three types of counsel in my mind. It's obviously ungodly counsel counts worse than ungodly counsel, which is wicked counsel. And there's an amazing amount of wicked counsel in the world, worse than ungodly. And then, of course, we progress on to the ungodly counsel, which sometimes seems quite wise, but it's not exactly like God thinks. So that's ungodly counsel. And then we get to the godly counsel, which is what we are all supposed to be following. I'm going to deal with those in order. Let's pray. Ask God to bless us. Lord, we ask You to touch us this morning because we do want You to speak to us, and we do want to follow Your advice, and we know that what You say is best for us. So give us the right words, and if there's anyone here that does not know You as Savior, I ask You to have mercy on their souls and show them their need. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the counsel of the wicked. There is counsel of the wicked. Did you know that wicked people are given advice? Now, when you think of counsel, you don't think of people giving you advice to hurt you. The word counsel seems to imply that they're giving you advice to help you. And yet, wicked people give advice that is not in any way intended to help you. In fact, wicked people give advice intended to help them. A drug dealer might give you advice to try drugs, and it's going to make him rich. But even if it's not to make him rich, even if that's not the ulterior motive, a lot of people give wicked advice. They will tell you to do something wicked. They will say, "Try it. It's good." Somebody will say, "Here, try this pill." You know, it's your job to know. It's your job to say, "No, I am not going to try that." That's, in fact, if you've got somebody wicked, you shouldn't be listening to them at all. You really ought to not be so friendly with them. You really ought to be the one doing the talking. It's amazing to me how much those that know the least talk. Go into any room, and when it's absolutely open, everybody's conversing, and listen to who's talking. You'll find out that the older and the grayer they are, they're talking less. Unless they're Wests. But that was uncalled for. I know it was uncalled for. They're not here to defend themselves. You will find that old people talk less. Maybe you haven't found that, but I have found that. I have found that young people talk a lot. Have you ever seen how 12 and 13-year-olds talk, and they just talk and they talk? How about 4-year-olds just talk and talk? They obviously have the least to say, but they say more. They talk more, and they have a lot less to say. It's amazing to me how people who should not be talking are doing all the talking. And so, it ought to warn us about something. There are people giving advice who have no business giving advice. And yet they're doing it. Do you know that people are giving other people advice to do horrible, wicked things? And they're giving advice. They're giving it as if it were counsel. It's like that young guy, Jonadab, I believe his name was, over there that gave advice to Adonijah, I believe his name was, that David's oldest son. He said, I'm going to give you some advice. You want this girl for you? This is how you're going to do it. And he gave him advice to do something wicked. That's horrible. But it's all over the world right now. Do you know that in high school, there's people there giving you, your children, advice to do wicked things?
That's right.
They're giving advice to do wicked. I get it all the time. Take, for example, what you see on television or what you hear in around, people who talk about drugs or they talk about alcohol and they actually mock the abstinent. They think that abstinence, people who don't do drugs, people who don't do social drinking, they think of us as weirdos, untrustworthy. Now, we don't do drugs. I hope nobody in here does them. I hope nobody in here is a social drinker. And the reason why I say that is because that's really bad advice. It's really bad, and it's wicked. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. And yet you will find people acting like they know something or that they're really worldly wise. They've got some ideas. They've got a following. They've got some kind of an appeal. But they will actually praise drunkenness. Or they will praise stonedness. People drunk. I hear it all the time. I was watching, we were flipping channels, and I saw a comedian. He gets on there, and as soon as he said something about being drunk, everybody's cheering. And I'm thinking, what kind of a comedian is this? And what kind of crowd is this that thinks that being drunk is something to cheer about? That's wicked advice. It's not just ungodly. It's not just it's not following God's ideas. It's because they have seen the wickedness, they like the wickedness, and they give advice to do wickedly. And we could go on. Talk about fornication. You talk about fornication. People actually give advice to shack up. They say it's called a trial marriage. Trial marriage is given as good advice. It's actually wicked advice. It's advice to do wrong. It's advice to do something that's immoral. And yet, it's given as if it were good advice. It's just the pleasure of sin for a season. And we have so many types of wickedness that involve money. You're talking about fraud or easy money or quick. You know, I saw a show on prostitution, and some of these people were saying it ought to be legalized or whatever. Anyway, some of these women were saying, look, it's the difference between working for minimum wage as a waitress over here somewhat and working over here for $500 a day. So wickedness is okay for $500 a day? That's bad advice. Somebody said, listen, I don't know what their situation is, but I have a hard time believing they couldn't make it well enough here in America on minimum wage or whatever they could earn. They could eat. They don't have to do that. That's not good advice. Have you noticed how people praise gambling?
Yeah.
Praise gambling. And look, if you like slot machines, you know, man, what am I going to say? Watch out for gambling because it is covetousness. And especially watch out for the kind of gambling where you're taking some sucker for everything he's got. You might find out that's wickedness. And you might also find out that if you love Las Vegas, and they call it Sin City for a reason. If you love Las Vegas, or you're wanting to vote in gambling here in the Texas so that we can have gambling, or if you are in favor of the lottery, whereas our government, our state government, is socking it to all the poor people, if you have any way, if you're in favor of this stuff, you are in favor of something wicked. It is covetousness. And I got to tell you, the people in Las Vegas, they know what it's about. They know it's about enticing you with covetousness, with a desire for quick and easy wealth. And they entice you and take you for what you've got. They know. They don't gamble. They're smart. People in Las Vegas, the people who own the Las Vegas casinos, they're not gambling. They're wanting you to gamble. But that's actually more than I wanted to get into. How about revenge? Somebody will tell you, we can get them back. You ought to get them back. Have you ever had somebody tell you, well, you ought to get them back? Why don't you stand up for yourself? Why don't you stand up for yourself? You know something? The Bible says God is the one who takes revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And He does that for a reason. One of the reasons why is because when you take revenge, you do too much. You never want to get even. You want to make them feel just as bad as you felt. And then some. Be careful when somebody acts like their way of living is the smart way and your way of living is the dumb way, because people use that smartness in order to give you bad advice. They want to look like they're smart. They say smart in making easy money, smart in fraud. Have you noticed how many people are playing the system? Playing the system? In other words, if you get a doctor's note that says such and such and you do this like that, you can go over to the Social Security Administration and get a check every single month. Wow! Playing the system. Playing the system. Have you ever seen somebody drive up to a parking lot, pull in to the handicapped parking, and get out and walk in faster than you can walk? I have. I've seen that. I see it all the time. I work with people that do that. I got to tell you, it bothers me. And they come over there and then they say, hey, I can get you one. I don't want one. I don't want to play the system. That's not smart. That's wicked. But here he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly. Now, ungodly means not God-like. Doesn't follow God's way of thinking. And that doesn't mean it's necessarily horrible advice. It might have a real appeal, but it's just not godly advice. And you might find out that God's advice is better than the ungodly, worldly advice. I want to mention a few things about ungodly advice, not wicked advice. Take, for example, the importance that people nowadays place on prosperity. There's all kinds of advice out there on how to get prosperous, how to prosper, how to do well. They'll tell you, invest in gold. Invest in gold. And the people who are telling you to invest in gold have gold. They're wanting to sell you. Really, put it together. You know, put it together. You got a calculator. You know, connect the dots somehow. Figure it out. People who are giving you the advice of how to get prosperous. And when God says, what did God say? Better to give than to receive, or something of that nature. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see how the worldly advice compares itself to God's advice, and it seems like good advice. Who in here doesn't want to know how to be prosperous? All of us do. We all want to prosper. We all want to make a good living. We also want to make a good investment. Of course we do. I would like an investment that returns 20% a year. Sure I would. That would be great. Better than the negative 5% I've done the last 20 years. I'm serious. My investments, I could have saved more. I could have had more money now if I'd have put it under my mattress. So don't listen to me for your prosperity advice. You know what the world says? The world says, get. Get as much as you can get. Get more. Get. The whole life is all about how much you can get. You know what God says? It's about how much you can give. Amen. This is really God's way of thinking. God says it's not about how much you can get in your life. It's about how much you can be worth in your life. How much you can give to others in your life. How much value you can invest in others in your life. How? That's what God says life is about. But the ungodly advice is about, oh, how about you can get out of this life? Whoever dies with the most toys wins. That's ungodly advice. You might ought to watch out for covetousness. That's what Jesus said. Take heed and beware of not poverty. Take heed and beware not of getting stolen from. Take heed and beware of covetousness. It's ungodly advice. Have you ever heard ungodly advice about marriage? Oh my, will they tell you how to have, how what marriage is about? Or how about raising children? They'll tell you how to raise children. I heard a judge, from, I think it was Corpus Christi, he actually said, on the news, I heard him say it, he said, we don't spank children anymore, not in this country. Whoa, listen, that might sound real good because it's violence, it engenders violence or whatever, but he's not taking God's advice. God tells you how to raise children. God tells you what good advice is. He tells you how your children need help. Let me tell you something else that's interesting. Have you heard nowadays, it's ungodly advice, but how much emphasis is put on equality? I mean, I'm serious. If this seems like... Now look, I agree. If we order pizza and there's enough for everyone to have one piece of pizza, well, don't be taking two pieces before everybody gets their first, their piece. That's not fair. Let's be equal. Come on, guys. Everybody can be in agreement with equality, right? But when you say, look, we got to all have the same amount of pizza. Well, I got news for you. An 18-year-old hard-working person out in the sun needs 10 times as many calories as an old 70-year-old woman. So where's this equality? What are you talking about? There is no such thing as equality. And God did not make everybody equal. Do you realize what the emphasis on equality is? It's envy. It's envy. You want what somebody else has. You're comparing yourself to somebody else and saying, hey, I don't get that much. We all do it. We all do it. I mean, we're all envious just by nature. If we might be just tickled pink with what we got until we look over what somebody else has. Oh, man, I liked my vote till I saw yours. It sure seems like good advice, right? Doesn't it seem like good counsel when they talk about equality? How about equality in the workplace? Everybody who does the same job ought to get the same amount of money. But see, that's not what God says. God says, while I have it, is it not mine to do with what I please? It's not equality. I know this gets a little too political for you, but I'm sorry. God's got different types of advice than what is being spouted around nowadays. You be careful for equality. You be careful on putting emphasis on equality that you're not disobeying God and actually throwing it in the face of God and turns it into being unthankful for what God gave you. And equality in marriage, are you kidding me? It's not possible. It's simply not possible. You can't have equality in marriage. Somebody has got to suckle that child. You can't both do it. I actually have seen cradles with bottles for men to breastfeed their children. Listen, there comes a point where your ungodly advice becomes ridiculous. You heard about freedom? There's a lot of that talking about nowadays. Freedom! Freedom and democracy and rights! And it sure does sound good, doesn't it? I just want to know what verse you quote. What verse you quoting? What they say? BCV, book, chapter, verse. Show me what verse you're talking about. Freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from oppression is good. Feels good. Freedom of travel, I like that. You ever seen these neighborhoods that say, no through traffic? No through traffic? They drive through our neighborhoods, they just don't want us driving through theirs. There's something wrong with that. But one way or the other, I mean, we like freedom, right? We want freedom. But you got to be careful, because a whole lot of people are talking about freedom. What they mean is freedom to sin. You know, they talk about freedom of expression when they're talking about pornography. And not just pornography they want to look at their home. They want freedom to spatter it all over the internet and everywhere else and corrupt just as many people as they possibly can. You know, you start worrying about freedom and say, we need freedom and libertarian and we're going to be. You got to be careful that you're not fighting against God. How about open-mindedness? You ever heard about that? We need to keep an open mind. We need to be nonpartisan. We need to be neutral. We need to be, well, basically you'd say we could be fence straddlers. Let's not commit ourselves. We're going to be non-committal. We're going to be tolerant. You ever heard that one? Tolerant. When the fact is, you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to make some decisions. And Jesus said, either you're with me or you're against me. Make a choice. If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering abroad. There's an awful lot of ungodly counsel in the world. Anybody ever heard of karma? Now that's Eastern religion stuff, karma. It's in several of the Eastern religions. I don't know which ones it's not in, but it's in several of the Eastern religions. The idea of karma is that if you do something good, it'll come back to you. One way or the other, if you do something good, it'll come back to you in this life. You're going to get your reward for it. But you know, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that you give up a lot in this life in order to get it in the next. The Bible, Jesus said, get yourself treasure in heaven. Karma is very similar to the semi-pseudo-Christian idea of charity salvation. The idea of, you can be an adulterer and a thief and fraudulent and a liar and everything else, but if you give 100 pesos or $100 to a poor person, you're going to be saved. And that's not true. It's not true. Salvation comes by believing in what Jesus Christ did for you. Repenting of your sins and believing in Jesus Christ, that's salvation. Doing good to a poor person is not salvation. And doing something good is not going to reap you winning the lottery. That's karma. It sounds like a real appealing idea. It's just ungodly. It's not the way God thinks. I want to talk to you about the counsel of the godly. We could even call it the counsel of God. The Bible says the whole counsel of God. And I'm going to give you a few clues, a few keys on good counsel. You have to choose good counsel, by the way. You're going to have to be able to distinguish between bad counsel and good counsel. It's your choice. You've got to make the decision. You're going to be following somebody's advice. Good counsel considers the whole person. Not just the finances. Every time I hear about some celebrity that dies of a drug overdose, I think they got some bad counsel. Somebody that loved them didn't go to them and tell them there's more to it than money. There's more to life than money. Did you know that? There is more to life than money. You'd be better off poor. I think of Whitney Houston, and I think 40-something years old? What? You just name them off. You can just name dozens of them right now off the top of your head. People who thought it was all about success and fame and money and winning and whatever. And they're total losers. Lose so much. And they had so much. You know what it is? It's bad advice. Because all the advice that they're getting is about one area of the person. And good advice, godly advice, considers the whole person. Including your soul. Yeah, including your children. Including your mental health. Including a good night's sleep. including a good night's sleep. Did you know how many people are willing to lose their sleep over some one side of it? They want money, they want this, they'll lose their sleep. Godly counsel is, hey, God giveth His beloved sleep. God made a daytime and God made a nighttime. I used to tell my children, nothing good happens after 10 o'clock. Except sleep. Godly counsel considers eternity.
Amen.
Now you'll find that ungodly counsel never considers eternity. In fact, a lot of ungodly counsel never considers a little ways down the road. They're considering right now. Right now, that's all they're thinking about. That's usually wicked counsel when they consider right now. But godly counsel is thinking eternity. And you ought to ask yourself, when you're thinking about counsel, what is this going to do to my eternal life? How is this going to affect my living with God? How is this going to affect me in my resurrection time? And if you're not thinking about those things, you're not considering. You've got some bad counsel. Somebody tells you how to get rich in this life, you might ought to say, yeah, but then what about the next life? How do I get rich in that next life? You see, because godly counsel always takes into consideration eternity. Let me tell you something else. Godly counsel always takes into consideration everybody else.
Amen.
It's not just about you. Do you realize that your life is not just about you? It's also about your children.
Amen.
It's even about your parents.
Yep.
It's about your cousins and your uncles. And it's even about the people you work with. The things you make your decisions in your life and how you live your life, it's not just about you. It's about everybody else. It's about society. It's about how people think about Americans. If you've ever experienced any kind of discrimination, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because somebody is holding something against you that they saw somebody else do. I've experienced it, and I know, look, I'm not a minority. I was a minority in Mexico for many years. But people would hold... I remember one time I was preaching and somebody got up in my face and said, "Get out of Nicaragua!" I said, "I'm not in Nicaragua. I'm in Mexico. But your country's in Nicaragua!" And I don't know what they were doing in Nicaragua at the time, but they were upset about us being in Nicaragua. Listen, it's not all about you. You've got to be careful what you do because it's going to affect other people. Everything you do, everything you say, every decision you make is going to affect your children. You say, you know, a little social drinking, that's okay. Yeah, it might be okay for you. I'm not even sure that it would be okay for you. But even if it were, what about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about your next door neighbor? And here's the crux of the matter. Godly counsel always takes into consideration God. God's honor. Does it honor God? Because, you know, you have an obligation to honor God with your life. Are you honoring God with your life? And if you never praise Him, you're not really doing much honor to Him. I don't care how good a life you're living, you need to open your mouth and praise Him. But one way or the other, your life ought to be honoring to God. And even if everything else about that decision you want to make seems to have a positive thing, if it's not honoring to God, it's not godly advice. It's not godly counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, if you are going to be blessed, you have to have a counsel that honors God, that makes God proud, that makes God happy. His honor, His purpose, His will, all kinds of decisions people make that do not honor God, do not consider His will, do not consider His purposes or His design. Why did God make you? That should be a big part of the decisions you make. It should be a big part of the advice you take. Why did God make you? Why did God put you here? What is your purpose in life? It's not just to get rich, right? And what good does that do? You're not going to take it with you, right? Naked came forth from your mother's womb and naked you're going to go back? You're not taking it with you. Obviously, some people's advice stinks. stinks to high heaven. They're not thinking well. They are not thinking about God who made you and the reason why He made you and put you here. Good godly advice takes into consideration what God wants out of your life. God's will. What are you doing? What is your decision? How are you following advice? What is it? Do you realize that the people who are giving your advice don't know what's best for you? They don't know. They might be absolutely sincere trying to help you, but they don't know. They haven't seen as much as God has seen. They haven't figured things out like God has figured out. God might tell you that this type of a life is not very well worth living. My wife tells a story about she wanted to be a country singer, and she went to see her uncle Ernie Tubb and went and sat in his bus and sat on his lap and said, Uncle Ernie, I want to be a country singer like you. And he said, don't do it. This ain't no kind of life. Maybe he knows something. Maybe he knew something that she didn't know. Maybe she could say, you know, he's probably right. What about God? God says, don't go that way. Don't do this. Don't walk in this way. Don't have this attitude. Stop being envious. Start giving instead of getting. So when God gives you these type of, seems like strange at first. It seems a little difficult at first. But this is godly advice. And maybe God knows better than the rest of them. Yeah, I'm pretty sure He does. They don't know what's best. Let me tell you something else about people giving advice. They don't really care. I'll tell you something. Somebody gives some advice, not exactly godly. If it works out for you, they're going to say, yeah, I gave him that advice. That was me. But if it doesn't work out for you, well, that was dumb. I gave him that possibility, but I didn't insist on it. They don't really care. But I got news for you. God cares. God actually cares whether your decisions work out for you or not. You know, in 20 years after you've taken some bad advice and everything's gone south for you, all those people who gave you that advice, they don't really care about you. And it's very clear. But God still cares. God's still worried about it. You might think you're all alone in the world right now because everybody else has abandoned you. But God has not abandoned you. God still cares about you. The Bible says God formed you in the womb. He cares about you. Let me tell you something else. People who are giving you advice can't do anything for you. They haven't done anything for you. Even your own parents. They can't save your soul. They can't get you out of all the problems you get yourself into. They are limited, extremely limited in what they can do for you. But let me tell you what God did. God gave you life. He gave you everything you have. He is the one who designed it. He's the one who invented it. And He is extremely intelligent. He gave you everything you have. And it's all pretty good. What He gave you is good. And then He gave you the Bible. He gave you His Word so that you can live your life with the wisdom of the ages, with the wisdom of eternity in your grasp, so that you'd have a good, healthy life. And then when you messed it all up, He went, became flesh, and died on the cross to save your soul. Amen. Went and became flesh, suffered everything everybody else suffers, and then died on the cross to ransom your soul. If you cannot live your life according to the wisdom of God, if you just have to take somebody else's stupid advice and you have messed your life up, what you can do right now is say, God, I'm sorry. God, I blew it. God, I have nothing to offer you. I did not take your advice and I got nobody to blame but myself. And you can say, God, forgive me and give me what's best. You know, you can be like Samson at the very end of his life saying, I have lost everything, but God, one more time, be with me. And he killed more of the enemy in his death than in his life. I'm telling you, I don't know how bad your life has burned down to nothing. I don't know how bad you've crashed and burned. I don't know what you've messed up in your life, but I do know that God's advice is the best you can do. Amen. You take God's counsel, you take God's word, you care about God's honor and God's purpose, and you make your decisions with godly advice, and you'll be blessed. You'll be that blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's pray. Lord, I ask You if there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, that You'd not give them any rest until they come to find You and know You as a Savior. Lord, I ask You to bless our plans today, all that we've got going. Bless our meetings tonight. Bless those that are out of town and got other things going. Remember us, God, and be with us. We do love You and we love Your Word and we want to bless You. We ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come back tonight at 7 o'clock.